From the Radio Ranch in beautiful Sugar Land, Texas, where life truly is sweeter, it's the Bombastic Blogcast for Thursday, November the 30th, 2023. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
There yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, and one heck of a nice guy. What do you say we get things started the right way with...
The Daily Denogram!
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. It says here, good leaders are like baseball umpires. They go practically unnoticed when doing their jobs right. Wow. Yeah, good one. Which explains this desire I have to kick dirt at so many of our politicians.
A man who can't be bribed, can't be trusted.
Let's move along now to the so-called educational part of the blogcast. Come on.
Twisted history.
Here we go.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
This is big.
Some cool, some not so cool.
Yep.
Just the same. You need to know your twisted history.
Okay.
You might be quizzed.
Ha ha. Well, you just bring it on. See how well you do against us. All right, kids, it was on this day in 1936, a large exhibition hall in London, the Crystal Palace, was destroyed by fire. Now, the building was built out of cast iron and glass, leaving one to wonder how it caught fire. How did it continue to burn once it did? And it was on this day in 1954, Sylacauga, Alabama. The Hodges meteorite crashed through the roof of a home and hit a woman who was taking an afternoon nap. Now, this is the only documented case in the Western Hemisphere of a human being hit with a rock from space. What a rude way to wake up.
I claim this planet in the name of Mars. Isn't that lovely?
Well, the headline is enough to make you scratch your head. I mean, really? Black Lives Matter co-founder endorses Donald Trump? Well, bear with me here for a moment, my friend. Yeah, Black Lives Matter Rhode Island chapter co-founder, fellow by the name of Mark Fisher, has publicly endorsed Donald Trump. And the endorsement, breaking from the typically left-leaning political affiliations associated with BLM, could signify... an important shift in the group's political stance. Now, Fisher's endorsement stems from his perception of the Democrat Party's failures to adequately represent and support black communities. So this tells me that he's obviously paying very close attention to current events. Now, he participated in a candid interview on Fox News where he expressed his disillusionment with the Democrat Party, citing the duplicity of the Democrats and the hypocrisy as key reasons for his shift in allegiance. Now, a lot of people are misinformed. That's a quote from Fisher. He says they don't really understand because they don't educate themselves on Donald Trump as a person and his history. But if they do that, it'll be organic, because personally, I love the man. Huh? Well, let's dig into this a little deeper. Fisher believes that the policies of the Democrat Party strike at the heart of the black family and the nuclear family, right on both counts. A statement that resonates with his concerns about the party's impact on African-American communities. Now, what makes Fisher's endorsement particularly noteworthy is his focus on Donald Trump as an individual rather than the Republican Party as a whole. And we armchair quarterbacks would probably do well to pay particular attention to this, okay? I am not a Republican. I've made that statement many times before. I will not join the Republican Party, not until they can prove to me that they're willing to fight. There are those within the Republican Party who I think are just absolutely awesome, Jim Jordan being one of them. Another one, John Kennedy of Louisiana. Terrific. But how Republican is Donald Trump? That's a fair question. He ran as a Republican because he knew he had to. But, I mean, is Donald Trump a Mitt Romney kind of a Republican? Well, of course not. I'm not sure that Mitt Romney's even a Republican, quite frankly. Romney has actually spit in his mess kit too many times. His political career is over. It is done. He's going to have to go back to doing some of the stuff he used to do before. You know, raiding corporations and stripping their assets. Yeah. So, Mr. Fisher argued that a lack of information and education about Trump's policies and his history has led to widespread misperceptions, which, of course, are all too happily fed by the mainstream media. Now, the relationship between BLM and Trump, and let me make this clear, I'm no fan of BLM. Certainly not up to this point. But just the same, the relationship between BLM and Trump has been complex, as the movement and the former president had differing views and approaches to various issues. Now, during his presidency, Trump often criticized the BLM movement and its protests, calling for law and order. Naturally, because those riots in 2020 were god-awful. How many billions of dollars were lost to damage, vandalism, fires? And then, of course, the morale of the country, damaged by the use of divisive rhetoric. So here's what Fisher said. I want to quote him here. He says, "My message that I preach and I thought is unity-driven, I want to bring together all the marginalized groups from the margins and bring them to the center because we're stronger together as one nation, indivisible under God." Well, now, who would want to argue with that? That's a terrific idea. You know, back in the 60s, LBJ had his Great Society, and that did nothing but destroy the black community. Destroyed it. Made them slaves to the welfare system. And also insisted that the nuclear black family be destroyed. The government actually promoted, or demanded, really, that black families are not nuclear. They wanted single women as welfare recipients. So anyhow, Fisher's endorsement comes at a time when political polls are indicating a growing support for Trump among black voters, from 8% in 2020 to 22% in 2023. Now, those numbers suggest a shifting political tide. Tidal wave, maybe even. One that Fisher believes can be attributed to a more informed electorate and the outreach of educated leaders. Fisher's call for unity and his endorsement of Trump challenges the conventional political narratives that, of course, are promoted and pressed by the left. The endorsement can be added to the list of reasons why Trump is currently soaring in the polls. Week by week, his numbers go up. Now, this sentiment has begun to go beyond party lines, with a notable portion of Democrats and a majority of independents expressing their reservations about Biden's candidacy. And of course, that data suggests an undercurrent of political fatigue and a genuine desire on the part of the average American for change, even among those who traditionally support the Democrat Party. I mean, anybody to deny that there's a huge rift within the Democrat Party is just got to be a pure propagandist for the Democrats. Now, the latest Harvard Caps Harris poll shows Trump in a dominant position over Biden in a potential rematch. But here again, that goes on the assumption that Biden's going to be Trump's opponent. And I'm not convinced that he's going to be. I don't know, but there's a sixth sense that I have here that tells me that it's going to be Gavin Newsom. But the outlook for Trump appears much more favorable than Biden's, for sure. And polls show an evenly split opinion, with 50% of voters supporting the idea of Trump running again in 2024. Now, the figure's important, considering the polarizing nature of Trump's presidency and the intense political divisions it fostered. Because data indicates that Trump's base remains steadfastly loyal. We knew that, right? And that's a factor that could prove incredibly crucial in the 2024 election. Trumpers are Trumpers. Right down to the very fiber of their being. And why not? Trump proved himself during those 3 years that he was president. I say 3 years because that last year, that was destroyed by COVID. And that was intentional. Man, I got to pass this along to you. It's from Mike LaChance writing in the Gateway Pundit. He says, it's hard to imagine how American media could get any worse. Well, he's right, you know. One surefire way to do it would be to make journalists and media outlets wards of the state. Can you imagine a media that relies on government to get funded and paid? They already act like activists, and this would only encourage them to do so. And he is so right. He says this would basically make all of the media like PBS and NPR. Oh, Lord, can you imagine that? Everybody whispering to you. Have you ever heard Glenn Beck? And he used to do this back when, what's the guy's name? Pat Gray. When Pat Gray used to be Glenn Beck's sidekick a few years ago, they used to poke fun at NPR and PBS, and they would actually imitate them, and it was hilarious. They'd play this soft music in the background, and they would whisper, and it was just mind-boggling. Anyhow, LaChance goes on to say that the top journalism school is pushing taxpayer funding of reporters and media outlets. He says, as the death spiral ravaging local news picks up speed, eliminating one-third of all newspapers since 2005, calls are growing for taxpayers and corporations to cover the costs of reporters and media outlets. Well, it makes sense because currently newspapers can't sell advertising. Why should advertisers pay so much money to support a newspaper when they can go to something like social media and more accurately target their audience? More bang for the advertising buck. That's what's happening to radio. That's what's happening to television. Those are dying businesses right now. I'm not saying they're always going to be dying businesses, but right now it's not good to be in broadcasting. It's just not. He says that arguing that founding fathers treasured a free press and protected it in the First Amendment, those urging federal and Wall Street action said it's the only way to pressure or preserve democracy. No, if you want to preserve democracy, what you do is you preserve the First and Second Amendments. Oh, yes, and the Fourth Amendment. Anyhow, a new report on the dying industry from the Medill School of Journalism, Media, Integrated Marketing, Communications at Northwestern University said the founders of our country believed a free press was vitally important to our democracy. Well, of course it is. But it's a byproduct of our democracy. I mean, they're getting the cart in front of the horse here. Because it's not the media that preserves our democracy. It's our democracy that preserves the media. I mean, the media was meant originally just to be the watchdog of our government. But they're not. The media right now is run by what? Six companies. Virtually all of the news that you get is generated from one of six companies in the country. And they control all of the information you get. And all six companies are liberal. I don't want to use the word liberal. It's not really accurate. They are leftist. Because a true liberal would want to preserve truth, right? Truth, justice, and the American way. That's what a true liberal wants. And right now, all of your news is leftist by nature. Now, the just-issued state of local news report charts the decline of local media and predicted that it was going to get worse without an infusion of cash. There may be some truth to that. But just the same, you know, we're hearing that from a report. Who did the report? Well, we just told you. The Medill School of Journalism, Media, Integrated Marketing, Communications at Northwestern University. Gee, do you detect any left-leaning sentiments there in that title? Well, anyhow, their report. Let me humor them. Their report said, there was both good and bad news for local journalism this past year. The good news raised the possibility that a range of proposals and programs could begin to arrest the steep loss of local news over the past two decades and, perhaps, revive journalism in some places that have lost their news. The headlines on the bad news resoundingly conveyed the message that urgent action is needed in many venues, from boardrooms to the halls of Congress and by many, including civic-minded organizations and entrepreneurs. So, LaChance says, if you think you hate media now, wait till you're funding their paychecks. This is an absolutely horrible idea. And, of course, I agree. I mean, media should be self-supported. I mean, I remember instances where certain sponsors of television or radio programs would try to urge the producers of the shows that were sponsored by, a given corporation or whatever, try to exert undue influence over the content of the programming. And, of course, the media outlets in those days would say, okay, sorry, I hate to lose your sponsorship, but we can't do this. Well, they don't do that anymore. I mean, I refuse to believe that all of these people who work in leftist media are leftists. I think they're sellouts. They're selling out to the sponsors. They're selling out to these leftist woke corporations and allowing themselves to be pushed around by their influence. But that's not free press. That's not free media. So what's the difference if the influence comes from your government or the influence comes from a corporation? There's very little difference, really. So how do you get a 100% unbiased media source? You don't. You really don't. There is no such thing. So the caveat here is you have to be vigilant. You have to be very vigilant about where you get your news. Remember that old saying, consider the source? So-and-so says this, so-and-so said that. Well, consider the source. Well, you must consider your sources. I admit, I consume a steady diet. Probably an undue diet of conservative news. But the reason being, I can't read liberal news. Other than to do research, find out what those knuckleheads are up to these days. But I cannot consume liberal. I can't watch NBC, ABC, or ABC. NBC, CBS, ABC news. Here in the Central Time Zone, their evening news comes on at 5:30. I can't watch that stuff. Drives me nuts. But then again, you know, I'm not an average consumer of media because I've worked in media all my life. I know what those knuckleheads are up to. Even have some friends who worked in television news. One in particular lives in Houston. Old friend of mine. But man, this guy is such a leftist. I don't know if he's really a leftist, but he is a liberal. And, but like Bill Maher, I disagree with Bill Maher immensely on so much of his political ideology. But Bill Maher is really a true-to-form liberal. And I respect that. I respect Bill Maher for that. Well, this person that I'm referring to, he's retired from media, but he used to work in, the CBS affiliate here in Houston for a long time. Darn good reporter, too. Very good. But yeah, he's a liberal. I don't know that he's really a leftist, but you know, it's like there's some people claim they have gaydar. Well, I have leftar. You know, I see it in the media all the time. And yeah, it drives me nuts. Because as a country, as a culture, the Western world, not just a country, but the Western world, the Judeo-Christian culture is in danger now of lying down and just being run over. And we can't allow that to happen. They just had an incident recently over in France where the French people are finally waking up to the fact that they let too many Muslims into that country. I don't know where that's going to go, but it could get ugly. And we have been far too tolerant. Now, I'm not demonizing a religion or a group of people. But let's be honest. As Judeo-Christian creatures, over the last 50 years, we've really done a lousy job of defending, protecting our Judeo-Christian culture. And we've been letting people into our country through these open borders far too long. And now we have millions of people in this country. Millions. We know nothing about. We don't know anything about their background, about their political stance, about their religious stance, their cultural preferences. We know nothing about them. Millions of these people here in this country right now. And how many times over the last couple of weeks have you heard an influential official in Washington say, "I'm expecting another 9/11 any day now"? I've heard at least three different people in Washington say that over the last couple. None of them were journalists. None of them were talking heads. It's creepy. We must protect our Judeo-Christian culture throughout the entire Western world, which means we have to start getting tough now. And that includes with the media. You see, a lot of the media outlets are dying because the American people, most people in the Western world, are not buying their leftist crap. So they're canceling subscriptions, they're failing to tune into their television programs, not listening to their radio programs. I mean, why do you think Air America, that leftist radio network, why do you think that died? Hell, that thing didn't even last, what, a year? And they had to pull the plug on it. So now you got this journalism school and expecting taxpayers to fund reporters and these dying media outlets? Are they nuts? Yes. Well, as you know, the governors of all the border states are pretty angry with Washington, and particularly the Biden administration, for their failure to help with all these illegal aliens crossing our border. And the governors aren't getting any help. Nothing from the feds. So that's forced states like Texas to take some pretty drastic measures to protect their residents. Texas National Guard has even been enlisted to prevent border jumpers from invading. And now migrants are finding a new dangerous method for entering the country. Now, an item from Fox News showed a train in Mexico headed toward the U.S. border and had what appeared to be hundreds of migrants riding on top. And these migrants were riding atop a BNSF, that's Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railway train, in central Mexico as it departed. And moved about 200 miles northwest of Mexico City into the U.S. And the train route goes from there to Torreon, Monterrey, and then Piedras Negras, which is a border city across from Eagle Pass, Texas. Now, I saw the video. Pretty shocking stuff. I mean, the trains look like those trains you see from India. Mm-hmm. And migrants are becoming much more bold in their efforts to illegally enter the country because they're basically getting a message from us that says, "Hey, border's open. Come on in." And often they cross the border and immediately surrender to Border Patrol because that's what they've been told to do. And that's because under President Biden, Border Patrol is forced to release these migrants into the country. But that doesn't appear to be good enough for some migrants. Some of them have criminal records. Hundreds have decided to simply jump on top of the freight trains that pass between America and Mexico. And once the trains cross into the U.S., all they have to do is jump off and scatter. Very unlikely that law enforcement's going to be able to catch any of them. Well, they'll get some of them, but certainly not most of them. And this method, of course, is extremely dangerous. Most of those seen on top of the trains are young men, majority of migrants entering the country. And some of these men work for drug cartels. Others are fugitives from justice from South American countries. Many more are economic refugees. And they're expecting the free handouts that they keep telling. They keep getting messages that they're going to get all these freebies here in the States. And they will initially, but it doesn't last long because we're running out of money. Running out of resources, running out of places to put these people. And the reason trends like this are happening is because migrants know it's open season on the U.S. border. Been that way since 2021, Biden administration. Totally unwilling to enforce U.S. immigration laws. And migrants have been bussed across the country, as you well know, and resettled in many communities. Those communities are getting fed up, understandably. Biden administration's provided free health care, clothing, shelter, even jobs. Several states have tried to get these migrants to work for low wages, which has prompted some migrants to leave, thank goodness. It's possible most of those coming over illegally do intend to work. That is entirely possible. But they cull benefits from U.S. taxpayers. Do I need to review the fact that U.S. taxpayers consist of people like you and me? It's coming out of our wallets. This cannot continue. Look out, Bob Zaney is back in the comedy corner.
A lot of crime where I live. I live in the Valley of Los Angeles, a lot of crime. I used to be able to actually put the key to the front door under the mat on the porch. Now Matt's a homeless guy living there. But we did get a new security system. What we do is we play Fox News 24/7, so everybody thinks we have a gun. You think I'm kidding, but the neighbors watch MSNBC been robbed four times. It's just image. How you doing, sir? What's your name?
Scott.
Scott, and what do you do for a living, Scott?
Mortgage broker.
Mortgage broker. You look sad. The rates are going down, aren't they, Scotty? I bought my house in L.A. at the height of the market in 2005. And you know what I do for Halloween? I hand out negative equity to the kids. Here's your grand. Pay it off. Trick. It's bad. I'm hosting a show on A&E now. It's called Flip Off This House. In those two jokes, my equity is still have not come back. I'm going to be telling some jokes a little later on. What's your name?
Adam,
nice to meet you. You're having a, is that your lovely wife?
Yes.
Don't even have to look. She's always there, isn't she, Adam?
Luckily.
Yeah, luckily? Why, because you screw up a lot, Adam? Is that it? Do you want to talk to the group? What do you do for a living?
I work for a potato processing plant.
I love it. Although you're from Idaho. Can I get a ride?
I've got room in the back seat of my rental car for you.
I bet you say that to all the guys. Been everywhere lately. I was just in Jackpot, Nevada. Who's heard of Jackpot, Nevada? Yeah. Well, let me paint a picture for the folks that may not have heard of Jackpot. It's on the edge of Idaho. It's a casino town, three casinos, general store, post office, trailer park. So I'm walking to the casino, and an older gentleman at the penny slot looked up and said, "Hey, Bob Zaney, what's the joke of the day?" I said, "You're a winner." Because I'm a people person. I love people. No, I truly believe without people, we wouldn't even be here. Heck, did I lose you on that one? I met the overachiever guy. He looked exhausted. I said, "Sir, you should get some sleep." He said, "I'll sleep when I die." I said, "Why don't you go to bed early?" I had a woman come up to me and she said, I have 15 cats. I said, wow, I have one. She said, what's it called? I said, normal.
Make it a terrific Thursday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's Bombastic Blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And you be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.